Good morning. Happy to have you along. So apparently there's a little bit of controversy around a Canadian movie. Toronto is showcased in the movie. It's an animated movie called Turning Red. I didn't know anything about it, really, until this little bit of controversy turned up. Here is part of the trailer for this movie.
Mimi? Mimi?
It's happened already?
What did you say?
Our ancestors had a mystical connection with red pandas. And what was a blessing became an inconvenience.
I'm a gross red monster!
I was finally figuring out who I am. And then this happened.
He's a red panda!
Sick.
It's just some genetic thingy I got from my mom.
I've always wanted a tail.
That's just my energy.
Any strong emotion will release the panda.
Okay, so at certain times she turns into a giant red panda, and I thought this was like the little girl version of the Incredible Hulk, but I wasn't paying attention, apparently, and now I see a complaint on the official Peloton mom group. I watched Turning Red with my boys this weekend, boys age 9 and 13. They had tons of questions regarding girls and their periods. I wish there'd been a warning before watching it with them. Anybody else? Richard Krause watches bad movies, so you don't have to. He's the host of Pop Life on CTV News Channel and CTV, and joins me now. Richard, good morning.
Good morning, Jerry.
Is that what it's about?
I think the first warning should have been that the movie is called Turning Red, and I think that's probably the only warning any parent really needs to have here.
Okay, but is that what's going on? Is this actually a sort of a not-so-veiled reference for the issue of growing up and going through puberty, et cetera, et cetera?
It is, and it's done in a really charming, interesting way. It's way more touching and nuanced than you might expect from a movie that's about a young girl who changes into a giant panda. It is an allegory for growing up and the confusion that happens as your body is changing and things start to change, and it affects everything in your life, from your relationships with your parents to your friends. You start noticing boys more. The young girl in this movie is in love with a boy band called Four Star, who we're going to be playing at the Sky Dome in the movie.
And
so this is unabashedly a fan letter to Toronto as well.
Okay.
And what happens is, when she starts to feel emotional or she starts to have any kind of feelings that are outside the normal, she turns into a giant red panda. And it's funny. I think that kids will laugh at just the absurdity of the giant red panda. And, you know, this, I think, is exactly the kind of introduction and thing that you need as a parent to answer questions about puberty and what happens and how bodies change and that kind of thing. If they come up in conversation afterwards, it's not an uncomfortable movie by any stretch of the imagination.
All right. But does the person have a point where she says, I wish there had been a warning? Like, now anybody who hasn't seen it yet and is listening to you and me knows now where that movie's going to go and what conversation they might have with the kids afterwards, going sort of forewarned.
I don't think there needs to be a warning on this film. If you read the little blurb that comes up, it's on Disney Plus. If you have Disney Plus, you can see it at home, and it gives you a little blurb about what the movie is about. I think most parents, if they're going to share a movie with their kids, wants to know what the movie is about anyway. So they'll read the blurb, perhaps read my review, which you can find at ctvnews.ca. There's the plug, and find out about it before you share it with your kids. But I think it's natural that kids, you know, have questions about the things that they see and the kind of art that they consume, if you want to call a Pixar movie art, and I do. But I don't think that it necessarily has to be an uncomfortable situation. And I don't like this idea of trigger warnings on everything and warnings to parents about this and that. People will be relating to this movie on a number of different levels. And if you look at the tweets that follow the Peloton mom's posting, when it was reposted, 99% of them are saying, well, this is ridiculous. This is a sweet-hearted movie that does a lot of the heavy lifting in terms of explaining the chaos that happens when, you know, kids hit puberty.
All right, I'm with Richard Krause, and we're talking about this movie Turning Red, which, and I will admit, I only paid casual attention to it because it wasn't the movie I was going to run out and see right away anyway. And if I did, I wouldn't be going with kids because that ship has sailed. And
yeah, if your kids were younger,
I don't have any grandchildren yet.
But if you did, if your kids were a bit younger, you would have seen this movie 3 or 4 times already. That's what a lot of parents are telling me, that they watched it with their kids when it came out on Friday night, and then again on Saturday morning, and then again on Sunday, and then the kids will watch the same thing over and over again, because if they love it, they love it, and kids seem to be loving Turning Red.
Yeah, I had kind of misunderstood and thought it was going to be a combination between The Incredible Hulk and Clifford the Big Red Dog, but apparently it isn't, and it's, I would put it this way, Richard, and there may be people who will disagree with me, because I think you're going to agree with me, it's not a threat, it's an opportunity to talk to kids about what's coming.
This is exactly it. And I think that it's a really charming and smart way to introduce a topic like this. If you want to talk to your kids about how their bodies are going to change, about puberty and all that kind of thing, I think that this is the perfect kind of gateway. There should be more of these out there in terms of accessible ways to start a conversation with kids that is necessary to have. You'd rather have them learn about this stuff at home than on the schoolyard, where they're going to get misinformation anyway.
Yeah. So let me ask you a couple other things about it. And I'm going to follow up with the listeners on whether or not boys in the, you know, once they get into their teens, need to be taught about what's going to happen with girls. And obviously the girls need the education, which you hope they're getting from mom. But a couple of other things about this movie. The girl happens to be Asian. How much of it is, and the trailer intimates there's stuff about Asian culture.
Absolutely, there is. It's directed by Domi Shi, who grew up in Toronto, studied at Sheridan, studied animation at Sheridan, and now is an Academy Award winner for a short film she made a couple of years ago, just before the pandemic. And she is now one of the lead animators at Pixar. So this is an enormous success story. And you've got her relating to her time growing up in Toronto. And this movie is unabashedly a Valentine to Toronto, when May, the young girl who's at the focus of the movie, gets on the Red Rocket, the streetcar that she takes to school. She proudly shows her TTC pass, the CN Towers in the background. Chinatown looks beautiful in its depiction. And the big showdown, the climax, the wild part of this movie, which is kind of weird and wonderful, happens at the Sky Dome. And so you've got a movie that is set within the Chinese community in Toronto, sort of, kind of, but also in the larger sense, really shining a spotlight on this city.
Well, I like that, because I think there is a tendency to maybe believe that if we really want the big time worldwide audience, we have to put the movie in Los Angeles or Chicago or New York or something like that. Yeah. And that's not necessary. The story is the story. And to make it also a love letter to your city, whether it's Toronto or Vancouver or Wadena, Saskatchewan, do it.
Audiences have changed, and they've changed in the world of streaming. And I think that has really pushed people into watching stories and accepting stories that are from, you know, places outside of where they live. It used to be, the idea was that American audiences wouldn't go see a film set really pretty much anywhere except America, unless it had huge American stars in it that they could relate to. And when that was, when the United States made up the bulk of North American and world box office, that was a real concern. So that's why you saw all these movies shot in Canada, because it was cheap to shoot here, but you'd have characters paying for their, you know, products in a store with American money, but you'd see the CN Tower and a streetcar behind them. That is out the window now, particularly since the pandemic, when production was shut down in a big way over most of the world. So Netflix and some of the other big streamers started looking abroad. They started saying, okay, well, let's find shows that are from other places. And then all of a sudden you've got a breakout hit like The Squid Game, which was probably the biggest hit of last year on television.
Out of time here, Richard.
And so they take it all.
All right. Yeah. Thanks very much for that.